Parshas Lech Lecha is largely dedicated to the life of Avraham Avinu. But did you know that by the time we really get to know Avraham Avinu, he's really old? Migdal Bavel, which was the story at the end of last week's Parsha, happened when Avraham Avinu was 48 years old. Lech Lecha happens when he's much older. What happened at the beginning of Avraham Avinu's life? Anything noteworthy? So the Midrashim sort of fill in the blanks. The Midrashim tell us he went through a life-threatening experience of a Kivshana Eish. He had been spreading monotheism for 7 decades before Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. He's a man in his 70s already, and he had accomplished a lot. He had followers, thousands of people who were following him. Yet, the Torah doesn't tell us any of that. Now, why would the Torah leave that out? Obviously, if the Midrashim tell us about it, there must be something to learn from those experiences. Otherwise, the Midrashim wouldn't tell us anything about it. But why did the Torah neglect to tell us anything about the first 3/4 of a century of Avraham Avinu's life? If there's anyone whose life you would think is important enough to focus on from the beginning, it would be the life of the Av Hamon Gayim, and the father of our nation, certainly. The life of Avraham Avinu. Secondly, Chazal have a Masorah that Avraham Avinu had observed the entire Torah before it was given. It's a question whether all the other biblical characters did, whether the other Avos and the Shvatim. But Avraham Avinu, we know it's enough in the Mishnah, the end of Kiddushin. Ekev asher shama Avraham bekali mitzvosai chukosai v'torosai refers to Beis Toros v'afilu erev tavshilin Chazal tell us. Avraham Avinu observed dinim d'oraisa, he observed dinim d'rabanan, he observed everything. Yet, when it came to Bris Milah, he had to wait till HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. Everything else he's willing to do. But Bris Milah, he waits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him to do it. If he observed all the mitzvahs on his own, why wouldn't he observe this most fundamental mitzvah of Bris Milah on his own? And not only did he not give himself a bris without being told to do so, he hesitated before giving himself a bris. Rashi, at the beginning of next week's Parsha, tells us that Avram sought Mamre's advice before giving himself a bris milah. When it comes to sacrificing his own son, to bringing Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, for all of his dreams and hopes and aspirations, and just shechting it right there in the Mizbeach, there are no questions, no hesitations. But when it comes to bris milah, which is minor by comparison, he apparently hesitates. In fact, the Medrash goes so far as to say that Avram's hands were shaking, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hold his hands in order for him to be able to perform the Bris Milah. Why didn't he get the shakes when he was holding the knife that he was about to shech the Yitzchak with? He gets the shakes when he's about to give himself a Bris Milah, but now when he's going to slaughter his own son? What is it about Bris Milah that seems to be something so scary to Avraham Avinu, unlike anything else? So the Yisod, it seems to be, that one can easily misunderstand what our primary message should be from Avraham Avinu's life. It's very easy to get caught up in the chesed, the mesiras nefesh, the spread of monotheism, all major accomplishments on their own, and any one of which would have sufficed for Avraham Avinu to have earned the title of a tzaddik. But what was his real legacy? Was his real legacy in those 10,000 people, or tens of thousands of people that followed him and that believed in monotheism as a result of his influence? Was that where Avram's legacy was made? No, the Chumash tells us, Ki b'Yitzchak yikare l'chazera. With all the work everywhere else, and with all the goodness, and with everything that he's doing, Ki b'Yitzchak yikare l'chazera. His greatest legacy, after making thousands of people serve God, is in the influence he had on his own child. And that itself is a tremendous mussar for so many of us, especially for people in my profession. We're so focused on, and rightfully so, on Talmidim and on Balabatim and on so many people that we try to influence in a positive way. Sometimes people in my profession tend to forget that our greatest sphere of influence and the greatest impact we should be leaving is the impact we leave on our own children. And we should make sure that it's a positive impact. You know, I know children of Rabbanim who swore to themselves that they were never going to join the rabbinate. Rabbi J.J. Schachter once mentioned that he and David Pelkovitz, Dr. Pelkovitz, and some others who who are children of Rabbanim, and obviously their fathers were wonderful Rabbanim, and wonderful fathers also. But sometimes it's hard being the child of a rabbi. They had a group in yeshiva where they would commiserate with each other. They called themselves progeny of Orthodox rabbis. Rashi Tevis, poor. That's how they felt. And it's tremendous Musar Haskel that when it comes to being someone who influences many people, we can't forget about our children. But it's not only for Rabbanim. Avraham Avinu is the model for all of us. And we have to realize that with all the good things that we're doing, and with all the good things Avraham Avinu did, ultimately the way he impacted all of us the most is through Yitzchak, is by giving us a Yitzchak who's able to carry on that Mesorah. And I think if you look through what the Torah tells us about Avraham Avinu's life, you find point by point clues to good parenting. The Torah doesn't tell us anything about Avraham prior to Yitzchak's birth other than the events and the characteristics that served to prepare him best for his most important job, for being Yitzchak's father. And that's why periodically throughout the Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps telling Avraham Avinu that one day you're going to father children, because everything that he experienced before it is a preparation for fatherhood. He's an Av Hamon Gayim, he's an Av. He's a father. He's a father first. And everything the Torah tells us in preparation of Yitzchak's birth is about Avraham Avinu's preparation for being a father. Let's go through it. First, Avraham is told to pick himself up and go to Eretz Yisrael. A Yitzchak needs to be brought up in a pure environment. Avraham Avinu can live in Or Kazim and he'll be okay. But if he wants to raise a Yitzchak, he better go to Eretz Yisrael. We've pointed out before, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that when was the first time they ever started the idea of having a yeshiva instead of just having a father teaching his child Torah? So Zachar also Shlatov Reb Shub ben Gamla Shemo came up with a brilliant idea that unfortunately there were many children who didn't have a father that was capable of teaching them Torah, and they ended up not learning Torah. So Reb Shub ben Gamla came up with this fantastic idea. What was the great idea? Let's make yeshivos, a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, where all the children can come to Yerushalayim and learn Torah. Then the Gemara says, yeah, but then they realized that that didn't work out so well, because anyone who had a father who could bring him to Yerushalayim would learn Torah, and if you didn't have a father who could bring you to Yerushalayim, you didn't learn Torah. So you're vaiter in trouble. So then they said, okay, so they made a yeshiva, b'chal ir v'ir, b'chal pelech u'pelech, throughout every city. One of the communal obligations the city has is to support a yeshiva ketana. But what was the Havamina? Why did they think making a yeshiva dafka in Yerushalayim only was a good idea? Didn't they realize that there was going to be a problem here? So Tosfos on the spot, Maseches Bava Basra says, yeah, it's not ideal, but the assumption was that the only way that you can really educate children properly is by showing them an environment of Kedusha, is by having them be surrounded with Kedusha. Let them see the Kohanim Bavodasa Mulviim Beduchanam. Let them see people coming and doing the mitzvah of eating their Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So it was Dafka in Yerushalayim where the Chinuch is going to be able to be transmitted properly. And that was the Havamina. But it's a Maskana for us also. Obviously not to only be in Yerushalayim, but the Maskana is that that's what a yeshiva has to be. And that's what an environment where we raise our children has to be. It has to be an environment of Kedusha. And that's the first thing. Lech lecha me'artzecha. If you're going to prepare to be a father, Avraham Avinu, you got to get out of here. You have to leave Or Kasdim. You have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Next, we learn about Avraham Avinu protecting Sarah from Mitzrayim. Now, when Avraham tells Sarah to lie about her relationship to him, he says, V'haya ki yaru oscha ha-mitzrim v'amru, the Mitzrayim are going to see you, and they're going to say, Ishto zos, this is his wife, v'hargu osi, and they're going to kill me, v'osach yichayu, and they're going to leave you alive. What are those last two words doing in the sentence? What's the real concern? The real concern is that they're going to kill him. Is he worried that she's going to be left alive? Isn't it a good thing if they leave her alive? But what you see is that Avram was worried about Sarah's spiritual welfare. Her spiritual welfare. Because if she's left alive, what kind of life is she going to have in the palace in Mitzrayim? He was as worried about her spiritual welfare as he was about his own physical well-being. We learn from this episode that in order to raise a Yitzchak, the husband needs to be concerned about his wife's spiritual well-being. He can't accept a situation where he's growing and thriving, but she's left in the spiritual cold. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Aaron Silver Shlita from Keren Biavne, when I first got married and I was learning in the Kollel, and then afterwards I took a job in Chinuch. And my wife, Baruch Hashem, is a very talented accountant. You know, he told me, just remember to never assume that just because you're growing and you're experiencing such wonderful spiritual pursuits all day with Chinuch and with Torah and with learning, never assume that it's enough of a spiritual chiyus for your wife just to be supporting that, just to be helping along by working. You have to be very sensitive to the fact that she wants to feel spiritual accomplishment also. And if that means missing a few siddurim so that she can go to some shiurim, so that she can be involved in certain chesed projects or whatever it may be, and sacrificing your own learning, then that's what it's going to take. Because if you want to raise a Yitzchak Avinu, if you want to raise a tzaddik, the husband has to be concerned for his wife's spiritual well-being. He can't accept a situation where only he is growing and she is not. Next, we're told of Avram's willingness to distance himself from Lot and Lot's unhealthy focus on money. The lesson is so obvious. A Yitzchak can't grow up in a home where money is the measure of success. As soon as Lot is gone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again promises Avram that he's going to have children. Meaning he says, you get it, you got it. If there's an unhealthy focus on money, a child's going to come out with all the wrong priorities. Dr. David Pelkovitz just spoke in our shul this past week at Shalosh Shudas. And he spoke about parenting, which is a topic he has a great deal of expertise in. And he spoke about a professor from Columbia University. I forgot his name. The professor's name. But the professor had coined a term. He said that there's something called affluenza. Children who grew up with too much affluence, who actually are at a higher risk of drug use and irresponsible behavior than children who grow up poor. When a child grows up with an unhealthy view of money and its primacy, it's asking for trouble. So Avram Avinu has to distance himself from Lot if he's going to be the father of Yitzchak. Next, we're told about Avram Avinu's fierce loyalty to Lot when it comes to saving him from captivity and fighting the four kings. Even family members who weren't positive influences, we have to have a loyalty to family. Because that sends a message. A child deserves to grow up in a home where he knows that so long as he's a member of that family, he'll always be protected. He can always rely on the other members of the family. A parent defends a child and protects a child. It's one of his primary roles. Next, in Avram's conversation with the king of Sodom and Malki Tzedek, we see his incredible generosity. He had no obligation whatsoever to give Malki Tzedek, Maaser Mikol, nor to allow the king of Sodom to keep all of his possessions. But he's a man of very generous spirit, a very fundamental and basic requirement of parenting. There can't be a me-first attitude if a person is a parent. It's one of the most amazing feelings of putting someone else before yourself and caring more about their well-being and that they shouldn't be hurt. And caring about yourself. And that's what being a parent means. And people who are not yet married certainly don't understand, have a hard time understanding that relationship. People who don't yet have children, it's hard to understand. You know, one of my Rebbeim, my boss, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, always said that his Kibbud Ava'im improved drastically after he had a child. Because once he had that first child, he understood just how much a parent gives to a child. Just how unselfish a parent is toward a child. And it made him realize that's how his parents were to him. Yeah, he knew it intellectually before, but he was really able to internalize it at that point. Next, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lehem. Your children are going to go through tough times. Parenting isn't only about the enjoyable moments. There are significant challenges that our children are going to have to face. And it's very painful for a parent to watch a child go through such challenges. But ultimately, they grow from these experiences. We protect our children, yes, but we also have to let them live a little bit. And we have to let them learn from life experience. Next, we're told of Hagar's banishment. Why was Hagar banished? Vatekal gvirta be'eneha. She disrespected Sarah. You can't raise a child in an environment where it's acceptable to disrespect his mother. Where it's acceptable to allow other people to show anything but the utmost respect to the woman of the house. And then finally, we're told of the mitzvah's milah. Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal explains that Mila was so challenging for Avraham Avinu because it would set him apart from the rest of society. All he ever did in life was to try to relate to people and bring them closer. To make a physical symbol of what distinguishes him from everybody else would undermine all of his Kirov efforts. His whole idea was to bring people in together. Avram delayed making this change as long as he could. He fulfilled Kala Tarakula, Eruvei Tchum, and everything, Daraisas Drabanan. But he wasn't willing to go through with the Mila until HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you no longer have a choice. And when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him he no longer has a choice? When Yitzchak was about to be born. Certain spiritual sacrifices are acceptable for an individual who's doing important Kiruv work. But those same sacrifices are poison to a father trying to inspire his children. The child needs to see the father maximizing his spiritual potential as a true tamim, not somebody who cuts corners when it comes to serving other goals. I think the message is clear. Parenthood is not something we can take lightly. There's no degree to be earned, and there's a lot of learning to do on the job. And everybody makes mistakes along the way. You could have taken all the parenting classes and read all the parenting books in the world. Everyone makes mistakes along the way. We're all human. But this week's parsha provides us with a framework, a glimpse of what sort of standards and sacrifices we need to make in order to succeed in what is ultimately, and this is not an overstatement, the most important jobs of our lives. Leaving our own legacy through our children.